t-shirt and jeans, mac and cheese, oceans and sunsets. Some things in life are an obvious match, like RIAs and Schwab Advisor Services, the number one choice for independent advisors looking for a custodian who can help them go further. With all the wealth services, technology, and support an RIA firm needs, the difference is so obvious, it's Schwabious. Find your match and learn why custody is just the beginning at Schwabious.com.
Murder in the Morning from the Hidden Killers Podcast.
The argument continues to be made in the upcoming trial of Brian Koberger that they need to have a space for a fair trial amid a litany of rumors. Brian Koberger, of course, the individual accused of fatally stabbing four University of Idaho students, facing that legal battle, not only in the court, but in public opinion. In an extensive legal filing made public last week, his defense team detailed the challenges of ensuring a fair trial in Latah County due to what they describe as a litany of rumors and conjecture. Koberger, who's 29, is charged with four counts of first-degree murder and one count of felony burglary in connection with the November 2022 deaths of Madison Mogan, Kelly Gonzalez, Zana Kernodle, and Ethan Chapin. The trial is set to begin on June 2nd of next year, but the defense is pushing for a change of venue, citing pervasive and prejudicial publicity in Latah County. It's hard to believe this is almost 2 years ago that this crime took place.
It's shocking that nothing has happened. You know, there's been a few hearings, but nothing's going to get going until about a year from now.
Yeah, I mean, that's just how a lot of these things like this work. But Koberger cannot receive a fair trial in Latah County as protected by his rights under both the United States and Idaho constitutions because of the pervasive, inflammatory, often inaccurate, and highly prejudicial publicity. Public defender Ann Taylor argued in the filing. To bolster her case, Koberger's defense team conducted a phone survey of potential jurors. One question asked was, what rumors or theories, if any, have you heard about these murders, Brian Koberger or the victims? The responses revealed a range of unfounded rumors, including allegations that Koberger was linked to murders in other states, stalked the victims, or was romantically rejected by one of the victims. Here's my question. You do a survey of anybody about any case, you're going to get a litany of bullshit. It doesn't mean that everybody is hearing bad. People are just dumb sometimes. Oh, it's not that there's like these rumors are flying around that he's connected to murders in other states. But there actually has been some question about the stalking that actually is somewhat legit, considering when they look at the tracking of his vehicle. And just eyewitness accounts here and there.
And there was something that I read too about one of the rumors, somebody that they had questioned, just a random caller that they had just done a phone survey with. They were questioning if Brian Koberger had been involved in a 1999 double stabbing in Pullman, Washington. Well, he would have been like 4 years old at the time.
Exactly.
So what? I mean, do you have a four-year-old running around with a knife stabbing the shit out of people? And it exactly proves your point that people are stupid.
Yeah,
no, there was not a four-year-old running rampant around Pullman, Washington, killing people.
Would have been an interesting twist. It would have certainly been an interesting twist to the story. One of the claims here said, quote, I heard that Koberger has been linked to other murders in Washington and Pennsylvania. One respondent said another mentioned a rumored connection to a murder in Oregon. The document also included a press release from the Moscow Police Department addressing media inquiries about similar unsolved cases. Quote, while these cases share similarities to the King Street homicide, there does not appear to be any evidence to support the cases are related, police stated. Notably, Koberger was only 4 years old, like you said, at the time of one of those incidents. You're like Chucky running around, basically. Despite these rumors, authorities have not identified Koberger as a suspect in any other case. He was arrested in Pennsylvania at his parents' home on December 30th of 2022 after traveling cross-country from Washington to spend the holidays with his family. During his trip, Koberger and his father were stopped twice by police in Indiana for following too closely but were let off with warnings. The defense's survey also highlighted local biases, with over 98% of respondents aware of the case, and 68% followed it closely. Approximately 67% of potential jurors familiar with the case believe Koberger is guilty. Prospective jurors who have been exposed to prejudicial pretrial publicity enter the courtroom with case-specific knowledge gleaned from the media, social media, and discussions with friends, family members, and coworkers, the defense argued. I'd love to see them do a little survey here of any in any proposed town they want to move this to in Idaho and see how different it is. Because a case like this, I don't think you're going to have that huge of a difference. Maybe a little bit less awareness, but I'm going to guess you're going to be in the 90th percentile. The
I wonder, the further we get away from the actual killing of these people back in 2022, I wonder if it's going to start blurring the lines a little bit. There have been so many other cases that people have been locked into, like the Long Island serial killer. Are they going to start confusing these cases now?
It's a local case. So I don't think so. I think, I mean, it's a case that really people will remember because it happened in their backyard, no matter where you are in Idaho. And I don't think so. I mean, as long as this happens within the next 5 years, I think it's going to be pretty fresh in everyone's mind. We push this out 20 years. Sure. You could have jurors that weren't even born when it took place.
Right.
Maybe then you have more of a fair trial, but obviously we're not going to go that far out. This population of Latah County is around 39,500. Contrast with Ada County's nearly 495,000, offering a larger pool of potential jurors. Ada County is the largest county in Idaho with more than 10 times as many potential jurors than Latah County. The defense stated, the defense further argued that Ada County's larger courtrooms could better accommodate the high profile trial, which does make sense. I don't see anything wrong, honestly. And I think they should move it. As much as that town deserves to have it there, you don't want to be going through this again for the next 20 years. If there's something doesn't work right, and then he can, on an appeal or an appellate issue, say, you know, this was a biased jury. And then you have part two of this. Dr. Jill Liebold, a senior jury consulting advisor with IMS Legal Strategies, explained how media coverage can impact jurors. Quote, we have unconscious attitudes and feelings about certain things, and the more exposure that you have, it's additive. It builds up. Liebold told Newsweek, she emphasized that smaller communities retain such high-profile cases in their collective memory more than larger venues. Liebold underscored the importance of thorough jury selection to ensure a fair trial. Have they taken action somehow? Have they talked about it? Have they written about it, sought out articles, researched more information? Those are the people who are less likely to be able to keep an open mind or to be fair, she noted. Prosecutors, however, oppose the change of venue. I don't think that a change of venue is going to solve any of these problems, Prosecutor Bill Thompson said. The court is set to rule on the motion after the defense and prosecution submit their final arguments in mid-August.
Wow.
So there we go.
That's a hell of an update, man.
I'm going to guess that it's not going to start in June. I know that that's what they have it set for, but I just feel like it's still going to be pushed out further.
You really think so?
I do. I don't know what, but this is a case that, this is going to continue to have issues.
They're going to have to get everything right. And as we've seen in a lot of high profile cases, there's always something that's going to get screwed up and going to change things. How is this ever going to get prosecuted?
Well, and Ann Taylor is simply trying to, you know, run the clock right now. And that's what I think she's going to keep doing. Because unless there's some sort of crazy exculpatory evidence, but we don't really see any. The one that's out right now, I'm almost done with it. And that's been pretty fascinating. Let me pull up what it is. Hang on. What is it called? The night when the night comes falling.
Oh yeah, that one just came out, didn't it?
Oh, that's while Idaho slept. Is the book? I was reading a chapter of the one of the chapter titles there. That's been very fascinating to work through.
New revelations, anything that you didn't realize, anything you hadn't known?
Accounts that are I mean, they're third or second hand, that the author got from close friends of the family, recounting what Brian Koberger's father told friends about the ride there, about his suspicions, about a lot of things. And it doesn't look like the family, and this is my conjecture off of that book, if the book is accurate, I don't believe his family thinks he's very innocent.
Well, they've seen things. They saw him, you know, wearing gloves, cleaning out his car. They, you know, they've seen some stuff. You may love your family member, but if you see him doing some batshit crazy things, you might think twice.
Yeah. And I think that's also probably why we haven't ever seen them in any courtroom for anything with him in the last 2 years now, for support or I mean, and it's not like they don't go out there or haven't gone out there. His dad went out there twice in the last, before all this happened, you know, to drive him or to be with him on the long drive and to kind of get him settled in. There's accounts of that in the book. The stories that we've heard, but more so from some of those people that are in those stories, the neighbor, the friends of the family. There's a lot that really don't paint a very bright picture and really just kind of reconfirm, again, a lot of the rumors, but a lot of the speculation about who he is.
Well, and that is disturbing. Your son is son, brother, whoever he is to them. He's been accused of a horrific crime and he's in prison. You would think during his hearings, they would at least be in the courtroom to see him, to make an appearance, a show of solidarity, some sort of, I'm behind you, I'm here for you, that kind of appearance, because, you know, appearances, they do mean something.
Well, if you think he's innocent.
We haven't seen them.
But would you do it if you think he's guilty?
I certainly wouldn't.
Yeah. And that's why I don't think we have.
It's very telling.
Yeah. Yeah. It's very telling. And obviously a lot of this is what we know about Koberger or things in his past that really have nothing to do with the crime. But if you start to put those pieces together and go, okay, this is the recipe. This is how this person, was made. It's understandable. And not from a logical standpoint, but as to this rage that allegedly was inside of him that caused him to perform these horrible acts. Still kind of amazing, though, how one person was able to do this to four people in that succession of time. That is
without detection.
Without detection. There is some questions there. And there is some questions about drug use and other things as well that I think need to be answered. I'd be very curious to see how Ann Taylor plays any of that in court when the trial comes up, if she goes down any of those roads.
Want to listen ad-free? Want advance access to all of our interviews before anyone else?
Become a True Crime Today Premium Plus subscriber on Apple Podcasts.
You get every episode commercial-free,
so you can binge on true crime
until you can binge no more.
Search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts now, or go to our podcast page and sign up now.
More of the Hidden Killers podcast next.